I loved the places Bryson took us when we were watching online, but it's nothing like this. It's nothing like being in this place. So good to be together. Wow, so good. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul reminds us that there are many stories in the Old Testament that were included to serve as examples for us. And some of them were even written down, it says, as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. And then Paul wrote, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll provide a way so that you can stand up under it. Now, that's an important truth for us as individuals. And I think it's also true for nations. When times of testing come, we're more ready than we realize. And there is a way to stand up under whatever is trying to crush us or break our spirit. Last weekend, we looked at how God had prepared the nation of Judah to be ready and to respond just before the fear of death was loosed against them. In their case, the key was a double portion of in the fear of the Lord. And the same is true for us. First, there was a now let the fear of the Lord be upon us. That effect, it invoked a present tense, now response. It was a wake-up call. It was an alarm from God. And of course, you know, with any kind of alarm that goes off, we have our choice about how we'll respond to that alarm. We can just turn it off and ignore it, go back to sleep. We can hit snooze, so we just wait a little longer. Or we can get up and it can get us moving. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon us is a heart cry that's intended to get us back into alignment with God and with his ways. I think it's part of living yoked with Jesus in our everyday lives and learning his ways. It's not about being afraid about what will God do if we don't respond to the alarm. It's also not about some kind of legalistic, religious compliance to rules, because God doesn't lead us with control-based living like that. Instead, it's a personal experience. It's an internal agreement. It's the choice of our will to desire to honor the Lord as we live as a much-loved son or daughter of the King, living in a manner that's worthy of the gospel that's been entrusted to us and worthy of the calling that we've received. There's also a second dimension referred to as in the fear of the Lord. Living in the fear of the Lord is a deliberate choice to raise our level of reverence, to raise our level of reverence for the Lord in all that we do day in, day out. I found a good definition of reverence this week. A feeling or an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. We throw the word awesome around a lot in our day, but it truly is an awesome thing to be loved by God. And this particular, in the fear of the Lord, this kind of reverence, it has a way of increasing our awareness that God is not just some out there, disinterested, detached deity, but instead, as our reverence draws us toward him, we start finding him drawn toward us. And we start walking with him and seeing him not as far off, but actually right in the middle of everything that's going on in our lives. This kind of reverence invites us to walk with him through every part of every day. We just sang that song, when I wake up in the morning and the day during the day when I'm not thinking about you and all the way to the evening. That's what this reverence invites us to live in like that. And all along the way, this reverence tunes us in to the brilliant, creative ways that God communicates with us day in, day out. God can just communicate directly with us. He can give us a word or he can give us an impression. Sometimes what he does is it's a thought that comes into our mind. I've known a few people in my life who've heard the audible voice of the Lord, but most of us, that's not the experience. But yet there's this thought that comes into our mind. And the way you know it's God is because it's said differently than the way you would say it. It's communicated differently the way you'd say it. It just kind of catches you out of blue. And then you think about it. Wow, God, that's God speaking to me. So sometimes he communicates with us like that. Sometimes God communicates us through other people. So we're just in the course of a conversation and somebody will say something to us and bam, we know that's the word of the Lord. It can be a person that's trying to speak the word of the Lord to us or somebody that's just having normal conversation. But when we hear it, it goes straight through to us. We know that was God speaking to me. I've even had God speak to me during movies on several occasions, not Christian movies, just being at the movie and just the presence of the Lord come and begin to speak different things into my life. I've even heard God speak during a sermon. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope you'll experience some of that. But there is just absolutely no realm where God cannot get through to us. He can communicate to us any place we are. When we embrace living with a double portion of the fear of the Lord, both the fear of the Lord upon us as well as the fear of the Lord in us, I think that establishes our lives on a firm foundation for whatever happens around us. And we're ready for whatever comes our way. Because in the good times, when we're living with the fear of the Lord upon us and when we're living with the fear of the Lord in us, in the good times, our roots are growing deeper down into the Lord. And we're getting rooted and grounded in his love. And then when those testing time comes, when we're being tossed about and when we're struggling, what the fear of the Lord does is it creates this safe place of peace. We press into the Lord, and when we tuck in close to his wings and we stay sheltered there, like Psalm 91 talks about, then all of a sudden there's this peace. We're still in a storm all around us, but we're in the middle of the storm in a peace that passes our understanding. And in this peace, we're reminded he's there. In this peace, we experience the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In this peace, we realize there is no place that we go that he is not with us. And that's what the fear of the Lord keeps us living in, day out. Now, if you got your Bibles, open up to 2 Chronicles 20. I want to pick up the story where we left it last weekend. Last weekend, I said that when we live faithfully, when we live with integrity, and when we live with a blameless heart in the fear of the Lord, there are many benefits. When we live that way, we can see past the problem all the way to the promise. We can see past the difficulty all the way to the blessing. We can even see past the curse to the prophecy that's attached to it. And then when we were ending, I said living in the fear of the Lord doesn't eliminate the reality, though, of facing opposition. And that's where we'll start this week. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some of the men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar, that's called Engedi." Now, this part refers back to the story I was telling you last week. After the restoration of Jehoshaphat's heart, as well as the heart of all the people of Judah, to live their lives based on seeking the Lord and honoring him. And after they established a new administration of judges and a new order of ministers grounded in the fear of the Lord. After all that good stuff, here came trouble. Three nations allied together to make war against Judah: the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites. I don't know if you've ever had a bunch of ites gang up on you, but it can happen from time to time. Thank you. It can happen out of nowhere. Sometimes this verse in here, I thought, a vast army coming against you from the other side of the sea. I don't know about you, but maybe something like that can happen. You experiencing anything like that these days? Something coming from the other side of the sea, changing the whole world. Suddenly things change. Everything changes. And it can feel like we're being ganged up on every side. For many people, this whole COVID-19 is like that. And the fear of death that was loosed with this current meant for evil virus, the people of Judah in this day, they were staring also at the face of death. By the time the news got to Jehoshaphat, the three armies were in a place called Engedi. And even though Judah had an army about 500,000 strong, I mean, they weren't a little bitty fighting force. I mean, that was a massive force that they had. But still, three armies of ites against one army doesn't seem like a fair fight. But God, look at verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek the help from the Lord, and indeed they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, rightfully so, Jehoshaphat the king was alarmed. The New Living Translation said he was terrified by the news. And this word for alarmed is the word for fear that means cause to be frightened, and it has this impending sense of doom and dread attached to it. But don't you love how Jehoshaphat responded? Instead of being overwhelmed by fear, he resolved to inquire of the Lord. Now, listen to me, that's a good word for us today. We have a choice. We live in an atmosphere that right now, every day, from almost every angle, fear, 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 fear is trying to get after us. But we can do something else instead of giving into fear. And I recommend resolving to inquire of the Lord. The Amplified says, Jehoshaphat set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. What the NIV translated as resolving to inquire is the Hebrew word for to seek. And this word means to tread or to frequent or to follow after in pursuit. It can also mean to search, to seek, to ask, and specifically to worship. So this is an active seeking, not a passive inquiry. This isn't standing peering out on the horizon, hoping maybe, just maybe, that God is paying attention and kind of have a wishful thinking thought, but there's a lot of pessimism and I'm not sure if he's really paying attention. No, this is a purposeful, confident search. What this search is God, I'm not comfortable with what's going on around me right now and the way this is all playing out, but I am going to find out what you have to say about it, and I'm going to find out what you're doing, and I'm going to do what you say, and I'm going to be with you in this. The same word is used in Psalm 9. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. The same word is used in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. They're corrupt, and their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see, one, is there any who understand? And two, is there any that seek God? On the day that we're reading about here in 2 Chronicles, we know that God found a king that was searching hard after the Lord. In Psalm 105, the fuller scope of this kind of seeking is described. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known among the nations what he's done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord, same word, rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face, same word, seek his face. Always. I love all of that. I believe that Jehoshaphat set himself determinedly to seek the Lord. He wasn't sitting around going, oh God, what's going to happen? What's going on? He knew better than that. He knew that whenever he was feeling afraid, that was the time to reinforce his trust in the Lord. And all these ways that are listed in Psalm 105 counter the reaction that fear is trying to provoke. Instead of fear, we can choose to give thanks to the Lord. Instead of fear, when it rises up, we can determine and decide, no, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Do you know that every one of the names of the Lord is an invitation to experience him that way? So it's not just speaking words and speaking names and trying, but you're my rock and you're my fortress and you're my deliverer. Those are all true descriptions of him, but there's also in every one of those an invitation to know him like that. So when things are feeling shaky and things are shifting, call on the rock. Affirm that he's your rock. Call on his name and draw that into your life. Instead of fear, we can remind ourselves out loud of the good things that God has done for us. I think it's so important. It's good to remember him inside, but there's something that happens when we say it out loud. And then instead of fear shutting us down and taking our voice away, we find ourselves singing, find ourselves praising, maybe even giving glory to the Lord. You remember, God always surrounds us with songs of deliverance. And so whenever fear comes knocking, we get a choice of what we're going to listen to. We can listen to things that fear is saying, or we can listen for the song of the Lord. I think what's really cool is when you listen for the song of the Lord, that song that just rises up inside, once you find it, start singing it with him. Start singing it with him and watch what happens inside yourself. And you know, if you still use your car radio this way, when you've got the frequency and there's fear playing on that frequency, and then you find the song of the Lord and it's playing on that one, go ahead and set the save button for that one so you can just go right there and you don't even have to listen to that one anymore. Those are choices we can make. Those are disciplines we can make inside. We're not forced to listen to all that noise. There's a better thing to listen for, and the Lord is always singing songs of deliverance over us. As Jehoshaphat strengthened himself in the Lord, he called all of Judah to join him in a nationwide fast. And as one, the people of Judah rallied together, and it says here that they came, the people came, to seek the Lord. But this is a different Hebrew word than the one that was describing what Jehoshaphat was doing when he resolved to inquire of the Lord, to seek the Lord that way. This is a different one. What the people joined him doing, this means to search out by any method, to strive after, and once again, specifically to worship. So this is not a half-hearted, lame religious ritual. This is an all-in, we the people of Judah responding to the request of their king. Together as one, they pressed in, they pursued God's heart, and they did it with the edge of a worshiper. In Psalm 27, David described this kind of seeking. It says, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Don't reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. But I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. When life gets hard, when fear presses in on every side, that's not the time to shrink away and hide. In times of crisis, we need to stand up and we need to step up. And in the face of fear, we need to take our seeking up another level. Now, that'll be easier to do if your seeking muscle is being well used when times are good. If you wait to put your seeking muscle into effect when you're being stretched, you're going to be surprised how out of shape your seeking muscle is. But when in good times, we're seeking the Lord, we're pursuing him, we're calling out to him, we're building relationship with him. Then when we get squeezed, then we've got something really to go. But here's the really good news. Even if we've not been seeking the way we should, when life surrounds us and comes in, God says, "I'll work with what you got. Let's go. Let's go." I mentioned several weekends ago the power of basing our appeals in a cry for mercy. I also love here in Psalm 27 where it talks, says, "Your face, O Lord, I'll seek." I believe God loves to connect with us face to face. Face to face. There's something that happens when we're seeking the Lord or worshiping, we're in prayer, and you sense or see or feel his smile over your life. Stuff just lifts. There's something that happens when we seek his face. There's something that happens when we just get the glimpse of something in his eyes that's so transformative. Many years ago, I wrote a song, and the part of the lyrics go, "Eyes of blazing fire, yet so full of love. Eyes that see right through us, but eyes that call us up. Eyes that expose our weaknesses, but eyes that see our strengths. The eyes of our Savior, Jesus, our King." This kind of seeking, that kind of relationship is caught up in this resolve. I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, what you're looking for, you can find. So if you're looking for bad stuff, anticipating bad things, you're going to find plenty of it. But if we're looking for the good that God is doing, we purpose our hearts to see the good that God is doing, it starts showing up on our radar and in our awareness all through the day. This kind of seeking does involve something else: waiting. This kind of seeking doesn't always happen microwave style. There's a waiting involved. Yes, the W word, waiting. And when we're being squeezed, all the more when we're being squeezed, it is so hard to be patient. Which is one of the reasons God made it part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Which means if you've got the Spirit in you, you've got all the patience you'll ever need for any circumstance in every situation in your life. Now, we have to learn how to tap into it and draw on it, but it's already inside of us. And I also, in those moments when I'm feeling like I don't want to wait on God and I'm wanting to do it right now and I'm just having to wait, I remind myself of what happens for those that wait on the Lord. They soar on wings like eagles. You get to see things from a different perspective. They run and they don't get weary. They walk and they don't faint. I also remind myself when I'm feeling afraid a lot of times of Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away your confidence and it will be richly rewarded. Look at verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. And this is what he prayed. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you wouldn't allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. And so they turned away from them and didn't destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as our inheritance? Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Man, I love it when a national leader humbles himself and calls out to the Lord in a public way. We have been so blessed to have President Trump in office during this crisis. He has called our nation to prayer again and again, and he has repeatedly spoken of and pointed us to what we need more of, the grace of God. In this particular story, I also love King Jehoshaphat's honesty and vulnerability. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This is on the heels of a righteous reset. Things had been going so good in their nation. The fear of the Lord was rolling on every level. And then the fear of death was loosed against the people of Judah. In their case, it wasn't a silent, deadly virus. It was literally three armies allied against them, banded together, headed their way to kill them. But look what happened next in verse 13. All the men of Judah with their wives and the children and the little ones stood there before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, as they stood in the assembly. And he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." The answer to, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you," did not come from Judah's best military strategist. Instead, it came from a prophet with a generationally enhanced anointing. And in the face of overwhelming odds, God's first words through his prophet were so consistent and true even to this very day. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. In their case, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by the vast army that's coming against them. Why? Because the battle is not yours, but God's. And then Jehaziel revealed specifically what they were to do. God told him to march down against the Ites' armies. God told him exactly where to find him. But then amazingly, the word of the Lord to them was, "You will not have to fight this battle. Instead, just take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord." And then one more time for good measure, the word of the Lord to them was, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face him tomorrow. The Lord will be with you." In the face of all the mess this COVID-19 virus has created for our world, I think a whole lot of this still rings true for us today. We cannot afford to put our trust in politicians to get us out of this mess. We need the Lord to show himself strong on our behalf. Yeah. The only way out of this mess is by the deliverance of the Lord. And like it was with Judah in days gone by, we will need to do our part. We, the people, need to take up our positions and stand firm. We must not and cannot afford to give any place to fear or discouragement in our lives. And we also need to stand in the gap for those that are being ravaged by it. So look how Jehoshaphat and Judah responded to this word from Jehaziel in verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed down his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, in a very loud voice. While some bowed down, others stood up. And from the ground to the stood up, there was a hallelujah breakdown taking place because this was a good word from the Lord, and it resonated with every one of them. They knew this wasn't just Jehaziel speaking. This was the word of the Lord to them. And the guys that stood up and began worshiping in the morning, they were going to get a new assignment. Look in verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you'll be successful." And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, "Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever." Now, the New Living Translation says, instead of have faith, believe in the Lord your God and you'll be able to stand. Believe in the prophets and you'll succeed. This word that's translated believe or faith means to build yourself up. Support yourself upon the Lord. Support yourself upon this word that's been given to you. It can even mean to trust. It can even mean go right to the right hand of God. Take hold of God's hand as you're going forward. Now, this wasn't some passive religiosity. This was a challenge. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Let's go. And then just before the army started moving forward, the worshipers were called out and positioned in the front. We got to look beyond the English translation of the word praise to get the real picture. Those who were appointed to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness were a particular bunch. That word for praise is the Hebrew word halal. Halal can mean to be clamorously foolish before the Lord. It can mean to make a show, to shine, to boast. In other words, the group that was called out in the front wasn't a nice little choir group. The group that was called out in the front were the halalers. And these folks to this very day are still pretty easy to find. They're not the people sitting calmly in their seats singing quietly. These people are all over the place, hands lifted, shouting, praising, worshiping. And these guys were called out and set in this place. They were put in the front of the army and they were given a specific instruction. Okay, you guys who are expressive worshipers, we want you to yada. We want you to lift your hands in worship and begin to declare, "We are giving thanks to the Lord for he is good. We're giving thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. We're giving thanks to the Lord because his love endures forever." And every time I've read this for many years, I flash back to the scene. I think it was in Fiddler on the Roof, but I've seen it in real life too at some Jewish weddings and things I've been to where you get the Jewish guys in a circle dance and they just start hands up and they're moving in a circle. They're giving thanks to the Lord for he is good. They're singing and doing exactly what they were told to do. And they're moving forward, celebrating, declaring the splendor of the Lord. And then in verse 22, it starts this way. As they began to sing and praise. Now, they were singing what they were told to sing. Give thanks to the Lord. He's good. His mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. They were singing the words they were told to sing. And then something else happened. A new song came forth. It just says they began to praise. But it's the word tehillah in the Hebrew. That's a spontaneous, unplanned song of worship. It can be a song of the Lord. It can be someone singing like the Lord singing to them. Keep your faith, keep your confidence, don't be afraid. I, the Lord, am with you. Go today. It can be somebody singing that song. Or it can also be a song to the Lord. Someone saying, "Lord, we're with you. You've got us. We're standing with you." The songs can come either way. It can be somebody singing from the Lord or to the Lord, but it's something that wasn't planned to be sung. It's a whole different realm of song that takes place. And when they hit that realm, that prophetic realm of worship, something wild took place. Looking at verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them, and after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. Did God really just completely change the battle because a group of people got free enough to just worship spontaneously and sing to the Lord? That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what, when they hit the tehillah realm. So they were worshipers. They were expressive worshipers. They were singing with their hands lifted. They were praising the Lord. That was all good. But when they hit the tehillah realm, that's when the ambush went out from the Lord. And the armies turned on each other and wiped each other out. You know what? I believe that God still does that today. I believe that same thing still happens today. We're just singing along. We're worshiping. We're singing with the words that are on the screen. And then a window or a doorway into the prophetic opens and we go there together. And we begin to just worship the Lord and hang out in his presence. And Many times when that's happening, you can actually feel something going on in the room. It's like, whoa, we just went to someplace new in the room. Sometimes when that happens, it goes a little longer than you're thinking. All right, let's get on to the next song, you know. But what I think we don't see is what's going on in the spirit realm when that level of worship happens. And I think in the spirit realm, God still wreaks havoc when his people are worshiping like that against the enemies that have risen up against his people. That's why I believe with all my heart that it makes a difference for our region when we worship here at Impact. When we enter in together and we just give ourselves to the Lord and we go where he takes us in the worship. It's why we make the time that we make so that we can worship. So we're not in a hurry just to sing the next song, get over the singing time so we can get to the preaching. But we want to encounter the Lord and we want to be in his presence and we want to go where he wants us to go as a group of people. And there's these precious times that happen still today when these fresh new songs come bursting out of us. And we're just hanging out in the presence. Sometimes the song's in English. Sometimes we start singing in tongues. It's a fresh new thing the Lord's doing again among us. Sometimes just lingering there. And all of a sudden this song comes up. And people are just singing. It's amazing what's going on in the room. But what's happening in the spirit is even more beautiful. I think this is one aspect of the role that God has us to play for the church in the Hill Country. It's not a better than or less than thing. It's just our place. And in the same way this Jahaziel had roots all the way back to Asaph as a prophet, I really think that from the day God established Impact, he had us rooted in the tribe of Judah. I think there's a lot of what happens in the tribe of Judah that we are called to be part of in our day in this place. Look in verse 24. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. And that's why it's called the Valley of Berakah to this very day. Just as they had been told, they did not have to fight the battle. As it turned out, taking up their positions and standing firm just meant follow the worshipers up the hill. That's all it meant. Follow the worshipers up the hill. And the worship in that day and in ours is never meant to just be a spectator sport. It's something not just for a select few. It's called for all of us to be part of us. And in this case, in the particular, it looked like a completely unfair fight. But their choice to be a people who were worship, who weren't just worshiping, but they were worship. They personified worship. When they did that, it created the environment to turn to good, something that was meant for evil against them. 3 days worth of plunder is what it took to gather it up. Here's part of a current prophetic word from a lady named Wanda Alger that caught my attention this week. We're in a protracted battle that is not ending anytime soon. We're facing things many of us never thought possible. Not only is our nation in massive turmoil and chaos, spiritual forces are pressing upon believers, and we need to gird ourselves for the days ahead. But instead of dreading the future and fearing the worst, the Father has something else in mind totally. If we catch this revelation and embrace his commission, we could literally turn the world upside down. The Father says, "Do you know where I'm leading you? Do you understand what it is I'm perfecting within you? Do you fear what lies ahead, or do you comprehend the joy that awaits you?" You know, I laugh at the enemy. Yeah, I know triumph of victory over his little mind and his limited plans. But this is the very thing I want for you to know and to experience. For the very thing he has been trying to trap you in fear and hopelessness is the very thing that I use to raise up a people of unmatched faith, courage, and boldness. This is what I'm molding and shaping within your hearts and minds in these days of trouble and chaos. This is what is being formed from the inside out. And this is what the enemy cannot fathom or comprehend. My joy does not come by escaping evil. My joy is perfected in the midst of it. It's a powerful word. If we'll hold our ground in the spirit, I believe that God will bring us to our very own Valley of Barakah moment. Barakah is another word for praise. It's a benediction. It's a benediction. It's the thing you say as you're getting ready to leave. And it's about prosperity, and it's about blessing. And it comes from the root word in the Hebrew, barak, which means to worship on your knees, to be on your knees before the Lord. As we started into this, all this strange season, there were several weeks where we were just on our knees praying for the Lord, crying out. But this isn't like a brokenness and a humbleness before the Lord. This is in reverence to who you are. I'm on my knees with my hands lifted, declaring prosperity, declaring blessing. It's a completely different posture. It's not on our knees bent over before the Lord. It's on our knees with our hands up. That's the Valley of Barakah moment, celebrating the victory of the Lord. Verse 27, then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. And they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. When Judah got back to Jerusalem, a fresh wave of worship and rejoicing swept over them, and the temple was filled with new sounds of worship. And meanwhile, outside of Judah, the same fear of God that Jehoshaphat had spoken over the judges, now let the fear of God be upon you, the very same fear that he had spoken over them, now that same fear of God came on all the surrounding communities when they heard what God had done for Judah. What if God is up to the same thing in our day? He's looking for a people who will take up our positions and stand in him, who will continue to worship him through the midst of all of this. And then on the other side, who continue to live in the fear of the Lord, with the fear of the Lord upon us. And on the other side of all of this, he does something in the nations, turns the world upside down. Let's do our part. Let's keep standing and taking up our positions. Also note where the story finishes. God had brought Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah all the way back to the same place where early in Jehoshaphat's reign things were. God gave them rest on every side. Yeah, they had had to face and overcome the fear of death in real and tangible ways, but their obedience to the word of the Lord and their worship all through it won the day. Let's stand together.